Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, a few minutes past 4 p.m. Our pal Jimmy Griffin, kind of the fifth Beatle here in the DGS, and his son Rocket. Good to see you both. Rocket, how are you?
Nice to see you again.
You too, my friend. Last time I saw you, your dad and I were practicing for a gig, and you were doing something and in that big old warehouse that they have. So how's school? You said you're in first grade now?
Yeah, but now I'm in second grade because I finished it.
You're not in second grade yet. This is just spring break. You're going to go back to first grade.
Oh, damn.
That's how that works.
He thought it was over. And thinks, oh, you got to be kidding me. So you're talking about, like, the recess schedules change a little bit?
Yeah.
That's no good.
Yeah, but when you go in, when you're a grown-up, I'm pretty sure you have no recess.
You just said a mouth. That's the smartest thing anyone said on the show in weeks.
No, right?
And depressing. Man, that hurt. You hit me right in the gullet.
What's a gullet?
The gullet, like right
your
there.
Neck.
Yeah. It's like, damn, we really don't have recess anymore, do we? Mm-hmm. Those were sweet days, weren't they? We had a 10:15 lunch and a 2 p.m., and everything just worked out okay.
You guys had three
recesses? We had three in grade school. Yeah. Yeah. That's like in sixth grade, that's when I saw everyone but me kissing. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, this, I'm playing kickball with the third graders? You guys are making out behind the incinerator? What the hell's going on with that?
Yeesh.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. I know, right?
All right, next time I lose someone, Rocket's replacing him.
There you go.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's
jump
a natural. Jim, you got a couple shows coming up?
Yeah. This weekend, I'm playing with Sean Kanan's Voodoo Players. We're doing The Who at Del Mar Hall on Saturday.
Great room.
And then El Monstero just went on sale last week. That's June 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And with John Anderson from Yes, which
super cool.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
That's, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He can still do it.
Yeah.
That's
still
amazing.
Yeah, that's way up there.
Yeah.
And then The Hard Promises is the end of May. May 24th, I think. So, yeah, just a bunch of, you know, work hard, little time off, work hard, little time off.
I know we've talked about this a lot, but for the people who have not seen the outdoor Monstero, but they've seen the indoor, like... Mm-hmm. What can they expect?
The spectacle gets slightly more grand.
Yeah.
I prefer the indoor shows just because it's more intimate and we can do more things theatrically that are a little more... if we hang an aerialist from Riverport and you're sitting on the lawn...
You're not going to catch it.
It's not as fun. But we do blow up more stuff and we have a helicopter and things like that.
Yeah.
So
For you personally, do you have to think about be bigger? Like I need to be bigger. I'm on a big stage with.
Yeah. It's that, and it's also knowing there's only one shot at it.
Yeah.
The beauty of the Christmas shows is, man, you have a bad night, and you're like, we're back here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be fine.
You learn.
And
from
this one is just like you got 2.5 hours to go out there. And get it. Knocked out.
What's the most difficult moment of the winter shows? Is it when you're just loading in? Is it the loadout? Is it halfway through?
I don't really have a difficult part of them. It's a beautiful, like, we move in
that's
and
great.
We're like there for a week, you know, and I go there every day and I take a shower and we have some
chicken. It's like a day job.
And then the saddest part, I guess, is the last one.
Because
it's that last day of school feeling where you're like, oh, man, we got to take all this stuff out of here and it's over. But you know it's going to happen again.
Do you use similar rigs for those? You just more amplification?
Yeah. For both of the, the Pink Floyd rig for me is always
like, I can imagine playing the pageant. I can't imagine playing Riverport, which is what I still call it. I mean, that scale's just too big.
It's not as bad as you think. Like the... underneath the seats, that's 8,000 people, which is a lot, but they're really tight. I mean, you've been out there, those seats are really tight.
I get it.
Yes. So,
actually, I don't.
It's like an SNL skit. Right. Yeah.
Well, he actually went to his first Elmo show over this last Christmas run and stayed for the whole gig.
It's impressive.
Which I thought for sure he was going to check out after the first set and be like, thanks, Dad. See you.
That was great.
He stayed the
Very
whole
impressive.
Night. Did you like the show when you saw it this year?
Yeah, I wish I got, I wish my mom let me go right to get in the front seat so I could grab all the money. Money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mark Quinn's in the way. Mm. Although you're bigger than him, so.
I wish that he actually shot out real life money.
Right. You and me both. We agree on a lot of things. We're pretty simpatico in a lot of things. Recess, real money, the Elmo shows.
Yeah.
But which one do you think's better? Pink Floyd or, I mean, the Beatles versus Pink Floyd?
Oh. Well, you're asking the wrong guy. I'm a big Beatles fan. So I'm going to have to go Beatles. You,
now, the one thing with these contests both. That he comes up with is you're allowed to say both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because it's either
trick question.
Who do you think would win in a fight?
That's
the first one. And then the second one is who do you like better? And I'll be like, Rocket, that's so... He'll be like, who do you like better, the Beatles or Tom Petty? I'm like, man, I don't know. And he's like, you could say both. I'm like, okay.
Fine. It's too much pressure.
Yeah. So, I'm going both.
Are you playing music yourself these days? Have you taken up anything? No, not interested? No.
But I am going to the library tomorrow.
Oh, close enough. Yeah. What about drums? Drums are fun.
He was playing, we're in the rehearsal space doing the Who thing, and Pasoni is working on the Rush thing at the same time, so all the gear is in the same room, so he got to play Pasoni's Neil Peart.
Oh, that's
the other
pretty
day,
cool.
I'm guessing that I'm pretty sure I just stepped in Coke.
No, well, you knocked over a Coke behind his drums, which we weren't going to tell him.
Yeah. No.
Oh, no.
It's okay. No one's listening. No one's going to report that to John Pasoni, that's for sure. Not going to know it's good for him.
I'm going to say sorry right now. I'm really sorry.
You're really smart. That's yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I bet you Steve Ewing's listening and he's going to narc on us. He's calling Pasoni right now. It was a Coke. It's right behind your drum kit, man. Yeah. It was one of the Griffins. I'm not saying which one.
Ever-present Jimmy John's cup behind the John Pasoni kit.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
What have you... What?
I never went to Jimmy John's.
No, we haven't been there, but John Pasoni lives there. So. Wait, I think he owns one.
Pretty sure he lived at Jimmy John's.
Well, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, what have you thought about doing that you haven't done yet? Any sort of tributes? Any sort of?
There's one in the pipe that I've been talking to some friends about. That I guess, you know, I can say it. There's already people that do this, but I've always wanted to do a Paul Simon and Simon and Garfunkel.
Wow.
And I thought that would be, and I love singing like this. And
that's cool.
That thing. And that was some of the first music I remember hearing as a kid.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even play guitar. I'd just sing. And we've got some guys together, and we're getting together next month to kind of just play like 10 songs and see what happens. But some really great guys. Gorelli's in on this one. Mm-hmm. And... Neil Saltzik, who I love.
Guys.
I'll tell you. But yeah, just do like a set of Simon and Garfunkel and then a set of Paul Simon. And I mean, just the catalog alone is amazing.
Maybe next year, maybe you should combine both in one gig.
Well, that's the thing. We're going to do Paul Simon and Simon and Garfunkel in one gig.
Who do you think would win a fight between Simon and Garfunkel?
I'm going with the hair.
I'm going with Garfunkel.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the tall one, right?
Yeah.
No, he had decades of rage built up in him.
Although you can't underestimate us short guys.
I think you can.
That little Amy.
I think when it comes to Paul Simon, you can.
Yeah, probably.
Like,
probably.
I don't care.
What do you mean you don't care?
I was just joking.
Okay.
He's like, come on, man. Yeah. It's a comedy show, Dad.
It's a comedy show.
So the best, you know, all the info on the shows coming up?
Tickets are at Ticketmaster, the Hard Promises, and... the Hard Promises be at the Pageant website.
Opener for that?
Opener is Fine to Drive, which is Mike Eisenbeiss, who plays in the band, and his girlfriend Susie, who will be guesting with us that night. And what else? Yeah, I guess. And then
is it Elmo?
Elmo and then Del Mar this weekend with The Who.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's really cool because I never saw him. But I do remember one time I was talking to I forgot what his name was. Who was
No, that had to be Cagney Payne.
Tom Petty's bass player.
Oh no, you meant Mike Campbell.
Yeah, I meant Mike
Campbell is Tom Petty's
guitar. Yeah, that's not
player.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when we were at the sound check for The Who.
Very cool.
So
very nice.
And yes. I saw The Who.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy the rest of your spring break.
I will.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome, buddy. Yeah. All right. Quick break. Right back. DGS. I have to say, in my 24-year career of interviewing presidents and senators and astronauts, I think the most difficult interview is Rocket Griffin. He can't get ahead of that guy.
No.
It's like, hey man, how's first grade treating you? I don't know. Who do you think would win in a fight between Paul McCartney and David Gilmour? McCartney? No, sorry. The answer is both. They both win. You're like, damn.
You zig and he zags. You just don't.
Although his little soul cracked just a bit when he found out that he's not going back to second grade. He's going back to first.
Right.
He thought that crap was over. I'm done with that lady.
Yeah, he's no fan of first grade. He got something against first grade.
Hey, man, once you see second grade,
mm-hmm. you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, I get it.
A taste of the real world.
I get it.
You have a Throwback Thursday?
I do. I got a couple Throwback Thursdays. Okay. 35 years ago today, in 1989, Sports Illustrated released their big, what exactly is it called? The Dobbs Report, you said? On Pete
the
Rose.
That's the Dodd Report. Yeah,
yeah, the Dodd
John,
Report.
Sorry, Dowd Report. John Dowd.
Dowd Report. On Pete Rose and betting. It was the big expose that showed that he'd been betting. And
was that a shock to you?
It was a shock to everybody at the time, right? I mean, because, you know, it's not like today where you hear everything right away and it takes time for these things to happen. You knew that there was an investigation going on, but, and I mean, what was it, 89, right?
I mean, yeah. Yes.
I was in high school, man. Like, you know, we weren't following any of that stuff. When the story came out, it's like, whoa.
And you just think about it. We're so so different now. We're so spoiled that even if no one's telling you, if you are good at snooping, you can find stuff online. Back then, someone had to tell you.
Yeah.
Someone from a major news source had to tell
you that
Pete Rose was betting on baseball.
Yep.
And Sports Illustrated isn't even that anymore. They're not even like a big, I mean, they used
no,
to
be. No, they just got bought by someone else who I think is trying to keep it alive now.
That would be nice.
Yep.
30 years ago, 1994, Michael Jordan was cut from the roster of the White Sox and sent down to the minors.
Yeah, that was quite a.
What a clown show that was.
Yeah.
I hated that a lot. I really hated that a lot. Because, like, just, and people, I lived in Chicago at the time, so people got mad at me because I dared criticize Michael Jordan. But, like, you're taking playing time away from people who are trying to make their career out of this.
Was he even close?
No. Don't get me wrong. You could tell at times he's an elite athlete, right? He's a world-class athlete, a guy with strength and speed and all that. So, yeah, occasionally he's going to get into one. But, no, it was a joke. And it was as big a joke as the Tim Tebow thing, maybe even more so. But because the owner of the White Sox was the owner of the Bulls and he wanted to do a favor for his buddy Michael.
Who has done the best job of crossing over? Dion?
Oh, Dion, Bo Jackson. There have been a good number. Brian Jordan. Brian Jordan of the Cardinals. Yeah. Remember him? He was a safety for the Atlanta Falcons.
He was
really good. There have been plenty of guys that have been really good at both.
Yeah.
But not after that much time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, you know, both Jordan and Tebow hadn't played baseball since high school. Yeah, they just jump into pro baseball 15, 18 years later.
Kind of insulting.
It is. That's why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
41 years ago, in relation to our friends Jimmy and Rocket, in 1983, Pink Floyd released The Final Cut.
Is that when they fought the Rolling Stones?
That was all about
their
battle.
The great bloodbath of 83.
That was all against their death match with Paul McCartney.
They both won.
Now look at that.
40 years in 84, New York re-landscaped a portion of Central Park that they renamed Strawberry Fields.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
In honor of John Lennon. And it opened on what would have been his 45th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he didn't even live to 45. That's insane.
I think he died at 40, right?
That's crazy. Yep. 44 years ago in 1980, Jimmy Carter announced that the Olympic team would not be participating in the 1980 Summer Games.
Yeah, remember that.
Boycotting against the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan.
Think about how, I mean, I don't know. It just, that goes back to the point I made the other day about, like, banning the Russian athletes from the, like, what are you even doing? All these people trained their entire lives.
Especially in hindsight.
And a lot of them will only get their one shot. And because they did something you don't like, because you were doing the Cold War thing.
We went to Germany and ran right under Hitler's nose, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're ever going to boycott, that's one of the greatest moments of Olympic history. Is Jesse
Owens. Was Jesse Owens basically sticking it to Adolf Hitler, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last one here, 59 years ago in 1965, Martin Luther King Jr. had the Selma March. 3,000 people on a 54-mile march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. And by the end of the march, 25,000 people had joined. So
wow.
Started with three and picked up 22,000 more along the way.
And I was 1 year old.
Wow.